Hello, hello, this is JT and welcome to my podcast, It's Just a Belief. Today, we're going to talk about addiction. We're going to talk more about what are the beliefs that have kept me drinking for more than 30 years. Before we do so, as you know, I do offer 30 free minutes call. So if there's anything in your life that prevents you from living your best life, you can always book a 30 free minutes call with me and we will see how I can help you get back on track.
She lives in the wonderful world of the state of hypnosis and finds hidden gems in your subconscious mind. She laughs, she loves, she breathes, goes deep, transforms, transitions, and laughs again. More than anything, she knows that it's just a belief.
So, addiction. What is the definition of addiction that I abide to? It's the one that I've taken from Tommy Rosen, which is behaviors that you keep doing and can't stop doing, you know, despite the fact that it has negative consequences in your life. I'll repeat that. Behaviors, habits that have negative consequences in your life, but that you keep doing. Sometimes you even think that you can't stop, but we're going to talk about that. So there's five families of addictions, and I'm going to give you the five families now so that you can reflect on your own habit, which doesn't mean that you have an addiction, but you might want to reflect on the beliefs that are standing behind those habits. So there's technology. I think that's an easy one. We all get caught into hours sometimes, especially with COVID now being at home. You know, many people really are addicted to technology. Then there's anything related to food, anything related to money, such as gambling or spending online. Then there's people addiction, like sex addiction and or codependency. And then the fifth one is substance, drugs, alcohol, etc. So that gives you a wide range, right? And there's a funny question that Tommy Rosen used to ask all the time, which is, and I think Gabor Mate also kind of asked that question, which is, you know, anybody here that doesn't have an addiction, you know, raise your hand. So anybody here that doesn't have an addiction, raise your hand. And, you know, there's always a few hands raised. And every time he would say, well, you know, here are the five families. And, you know, saying pretty much everybody have some habits that have detrimental consequences in their life. That's a belief, right? But a large percent of the population do have habits who have negative consequences in their life. Anyway, the story is, what are the beliefs that have kept me drinking for so long? I say so long because I started very early. I was 12 years old. At the time, I was a very anxious kid. Now I know that I was having anxiety at the time, but I did not know when I was a child that I had that. I thought it was normal, but I was very anxious. There was no alcohol in our house, but there was one bottle that my father had as a corporate gift. And it was a bottle of Canadian brandy, whiskey, something like that. And it was in a purple velour kind of pouch. And I remember, you know, I would take the pouch, I would drink a few sip, put the lid back in and put it back in the pouch. I'm not sure if I said it ever to my family, and maybe they're still wondering who was drinking that, but it was me. So this is really how it started. And the belief at the time was that it was calming me. I was anxious, as I said. I had a lot of anxiety, but I did not know. I just didn't feel good. So I thought that alcohol, my belief was that alcohol made me feel better, made me relax, made me escape from that anxiety. Fast forward, I am in my 20s, and it's years of having friends. So it's party years, right? And at the time, I was traveling also Western Canada, BC, Alberta. And, you know, drinking was the thing to do, to have friends, to be cool. Because I was kind of nerdy and I was socially odd because I was an anxious person. And now I know that I had social anxiety at the time, but I did not know, right, when I was a child. And probably nobody knew, but I was socially odd sometimes. And I guess, you know, alcohol made me feel good, made me feel that I, you know, belong and I had friends. So the belief at the time was like, if I drink, I'm going to have friends. If I drink, I'm going to be funny. If I drink, I'm going to not be alone. And of course, I'm not going to feel that anxiety. But I had no clue, right, again, that this was all playing in the background. I was just drinking like everybody of my age. Although I remember reflecting and knowing deep inside that I was drinking more than all my friends. And I remember that, you know, I was drinking more than even a lot of my male friends at the time. You know, I knew inside of me there was something wrong, but my belief was that alcohol was really helping me socially. It was helping me be funny. It was helping me having friends. It was helping me having fun, dancing all night. All the things that I actually, I'm kind of an hermit, you know, I like to be alone and in my thoughts and in my books and everything. And, but, you know, alcohol at that time really helped me do what, you know, teenagers and young adults do, which is hang around their friends. And then fast forward again, I started to work and then I was in a long-term relationship with children of my partner. And I started to drink to relax. I thought that drinking was good for me. It was helping me relax. And it, another thing that it started to do was I started to believe that I was more intelligent, that I was brighter, smarter, wittier when I was drinking. I remember the long conversation I would have with other professional friends. And I remember how, you know, I felt, wow, when I drink, I have those ideas. Wow, I'm so smart, you know. I could really write a book. I could write an article. I could make a speech. I could, like, it was like, wow, you know, drinking really makes me smart. So the belief was that drinking was making me smart. And I guess somehow, somewhere, I thought I was not good enough, or I thought I was not smart enough, or I thought, you know, other people were better than I. So drinking was helping me meet people where I thought that they were, right? Which was obviously an illusion. And I remember there was, you know, the drink coming home after work, which is the, you know, relax. Okay, I'm shutting down my day. I'm having a glass of wine. And then wine was really my drink of choice. And the belief really was that it made me relax, right? Which we know that there's no way alcohol can make you relax. It gives you the illusion, but it's a depressor. And if there's one thing, it elevates, you know, your anxiety and a lot of things. But you don't see it, of course. And thinking that you're smart, I think that many people think that, right? Lots of artists also think that they cannot create if they haven't had substance. One other belief that started to creep in at the time was that I couldn't stop. That if I would stop drinking, my life would be boring. Alcohol really at that time, I was end of my 30s, had started to really take an important place. And I remember being in Spain with my partner at the time, and we had an argument because he was thinking, okay, you're really starting to drink a lot. And he was not drinking at all, like he was a non-drinker, just naturally. So I felt I was kind of controlled, or I felt I was kind of prevented from drinking, from doing what I wanted to do. So it kind of encouraged me to drink more, which was really kind of a rebellion thing to do at the time. But But I was really like, okay, you know, I'm smarter. I can't really stop. This is really when it started to creep in. And then, you know, beginning of my 40s, this is when I was newly single. This is when I started really to drink fast speed, high speed drinking, almost, you know, every day. And this is when I really started to believe that I could not stop, you know, and I was doing a lot of things to stop. I was like, okay, I'm going to drink only in the weekend. Didn't work. Okay, I'm going to drink only half the bottle. Didn't work. Okay, I'm not going to drink. I'm only going to drink if I am with people. Didn't work. I was trying a lot of things to stop. But my belief was that I can't stop. I just can't. And if I stop, my life's going to be terrible. It's going to be boring. I'm going to be, you know, alone. And in fact, it was the opposite. The more I was drinking, the more I was alone. But there was a lot of beliefs, right, that kept me drinking. And the one that you can't stop, that I couldn't stop, that I was unable to, that I didn't have the strength, that it was too late for me. And I really believed that. And I really believed that, oh my God, you know, if I stop, my life is going to really be boring. Eventually, one day I stopped and my belief changed, right? And this is when I realized eventually that no, I wasn't smart when I was drinking. And no, I wasn't really caring about people. And I was not really caring about the conversation. I was caring about the bottle. And no, you know, as I said, I wasn't smarter and certainly not more connected and certainly not less anxious and certainly not, you know, a more evolved or whatever, you know, a happier human being. So those beliefs have kept me for years. And it's very interesting because once you stop drinking after having drank so heavily for so many years and you face those beliefs about yourself that you're not enough, so you need to drink to feel enough, which is one of the most common beliefs of people who have addiction. It's not the only one, but it's a very common one, right? I need to numb or I need to a substance or something to make me feel good because I don't feel good enough inside of myself. And I can't stop. And once you see that you absolutely can stop, because there was one day you were not drinking, you were not overeating, you were not this and that. There was one day in your life before all happened that you were not shopping online, that you were not gambling, whatever. So you can, you know, if it came into your life, it can absolutely go. And that's a wonderful way to work it out and to work at it. So those were my beliefs about drinking, the one that kept me drinking for so long. Now I know that they were all false, and I know that I could absolutely change those beliefs. And I have changed those beliefs by, you know, now I love to connect with people. Now it's like I would never want to be numb. I want to feel life. I want to feel the good and the bad. I want to experience the human experience totally. I don't want to numb it. I don't want to pretend it's not there. I want to experience it fully. So I hope this is helpful for you, and I hope this helps you reflect on your own habits. Again, I'm not saying you have an addiction, but what are the beliefs that keeps you from doing things that are having, you know, negative consequences in your life, but you keep doing? What are the beliefs behind that? You know, I had some very interesting beliefs with clients who were smoking, right? Smoking makes me relax is one. Smoking gives me time for myself. I even had somebody, smoking helps me hear better. There's all kinds of beliefs that were there. But in any case, I encourage you now to think about it. So my question in this episode for you is, what beliefs do you think are behind your habits that have negative consequences in your life? You don't have to have a label. I don't care about, you know, I'm addicted, I'm not addicted, whatever. You know, what are the beliefs that you think are justifying behaviors that have negative consequences in your life. I hope you liked this episode. It was very interesting for me to do my own journey through my beliefs. I encourage you to do the same. Start when you were a child. Let's say you have a habit with eating, or you have a habit with money or with people, whatever. You have a habit that has negative consequences in your life, and you can trace it back, you know, in different forms from your early childhood or from your teenage years, and just, you know, try to look at what are the different beliefs, how they have evolved, and how they have justified this habit that have negative consequences in your life. Well, I wish you a good personal journey on your own. You can even write about it if you want. That's always very helpful to write them. So, as you know, I do offer this 30 free minutes, and I encourage you to come and talk to me if you want to talk about some negative habits that have consequences in your life. And until next time, as you know, it's just a belief.